Praise your name, precious Jesus. Glory to your name. There we go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to just begin with a little prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. You guys are all sitting down, but I'm going to ask you to just stand right back up again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, precious, precious Jesus. Lord, we just worship you tonight, oh God. We just come before you, Lord, and we just ask you to speak to us tonight. Lord, I ask you to speak through me tonight. Let your words come out, oh God. Let your purpose come out, oh God. Lord, this isn't my word. This isn't my idea. This is your word for your people, oh God. Lord, I just ask that you move upon the hearts of each person here in this place and each person who is watching this tonight at home, oh God. Lord, I just ask that you begin to minister to your people even right now. Right now, let your spirit begin to minister to people, Holy Spirit. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. There is nothing more important than your will, than your way, than your purpose, oh God. And Lord, I just ask you to move in a supernatural way in this place, oh God. Lord, through this word, move in a supernatural way over your people tonight, oh God, for your purposes and for your glory, Father. Lord, that your name be lifted high, oh God, that you be glorified in this place, in this moment, but that you be glorified out there, oh God, and in every moment of our lives, precious Jesus. Lord, we don't want to become stale or stagnant, oh God. We don't want to miss, Lord Jesus, what you have for us, Lord God. Lord, we want to be fresh. We want to be made new each day, oh God, and we want to be filled with your fire and your anointing and your power and your love, and we ask you to move in a supernatural way in and through us, precious Savior. Oh, because nothing is impossible with you, God. Oh, you are the God of impossible. You are the God who takes the impossible and shapes it to your will and does miraculous things, Lord. And we just praise you tonight, oh God. And we just glorify your name, precious Savior. Oh, we just worship you, Father. We just worship you because you're a good God. You're a good God, Father. You are wonderful. You are marvelous, Lord God. Your arm's not short. Your ear's not deaf, oh God. Lord, nothing can stop your purposes, oh God. Your blood is sufficient. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. Oh, we just praise you tonight, oh God. Woo! We just glorify you tonight, Jesus. Who holy is your name? Have your time, have your will. Oh, in Jesus' name we just praise you, Lord. Whoo, hallelujah. I got to tell you, I've been sitting on this word, this message, for 2 months at least, maybe three. And it just has excited me. I have been so excited. For at least 6 months, I have felt a stirring in my heart about this message. A stirring in my heart about the times we're living in. A stirring in my heart about what's to come. And you know, when things are the darkest, always when things are the darkest, the Lord is about to break through with awesome, miraculous things. And I think we're just on the edge of that. I think we're just on the edge of that. Oh, and I'm so excited about it. I am so excited about what it means for a new beginning. I'm excited about what it means for you and about what it means for me. I see this place full. I see it full. I see it full, wall to wall, back to front. I see it full. And I see people standing out in the hall, in the dining hall. And I see people out in the parking lot. I see it full because we are coming into a time of a harvest. Well, the word says that the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. And I believe we are about to see a harvest like we've never seen before. Oh, hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter 23. Oh, I know, right? Woo! There's some fire in this place, everybody. If you're not feeling it, move closer. Move closer. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is here and it is awesome. Woo! Luke chapter 23. Woo! I know, right? Woo! Woo! Okay, hold it. I'm going to hold this together, Lord. I'm going to hold this together. Whew, holy is your name, Lord. Okay, Luke chapter 23. Verse 39. We're going to start at verse 39. There we go. Whew, okay, are we ready? It said, then. It's hard to read. Okay, just I'm going to do this. It's not very often I can't talk. Right? There are very few moments. Oh. Try this again. I don't know if I can do this. Okay. I know, right? I'm feeling really undignified. Holy Lord. Okay, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, speaking of Christ. And he said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, whoa. I got to move. I'm not going to be able to stand right there. Okay, there was something going on right here. There was something going on. As this thief hung there, guilty. Guilty. He was guilty. He wasn't innocent. He was guilty, and as he was hanging there, something was going on in his heart. He was having a revelation moment, which I've heard death can do that to you. It says in the Word in John chapter 6, verse 44, I'm just going to read it to you. You can look it up at home. It says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay, so this man on this cross, in this moment, is having a revelation moment. He is suddenly understanding who Jesus is. He is suddenly understanding there is a God, and they are about to face him, and he doesn't want to face him in his sin. He doesn't want to face him in his crimes. He wants Jesus to take him. Oh, the other man, no spirit drawn there. He's busy making fun and mocking Jesus like he deserved to be off that cross. Like he was an equal with Jesus. Like they were all innocent hanging there on those crosses. But there was only one man innocent and one man smart. This man was having a revelation moment. He understood. Whether he had heard Jesus teach or not, who knows? It doesn't matter. What he was having in this moment was a revelation of who this man hanging beside him was. And he even rebuked his crime mate. He even said, don't you fear God? He knew who Jesus was, and he knew what was happening. Oh, praise the Lord. This was an important moment. This was a pivotal moment. Oh, hallelujah. God was drawing this man to Jesus. He was hanging there having a revelation of who Jesus was. A moment of perfect clarity. A moment that humbled him. A moment that shamed him. And in that moment of humility and shame, he reaches out to Christ and he says to his, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew he wasn't dying. He knew he wasn't going anywhere but to his kingdom. He said, his kingdom. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. He knew whose kingdom he was going to. And he humbled himself before Christ. And he said, remember me. Remember me. Now, let's take a moment. Let's think about this. Jesus, hanging on the cross, probably the worst day and the best day of his life all rolled into one. Because he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing for us. But he had suffered. He had paid a price to save us. He had been beaten. He'd had his beard viciously plucked out. He had had a crown of thorns pressed into his head. And he had whips across his back. He had been lashed and lashed, were the words that it was just, he was just like meat. And then he'd been nailed to a cross. Worst moment. Most painful moment of his life. Because, you know, the second he took all that sin on him, there was separation between him and God. Suddenly, his lifeline to the Father, his connection to the Father was cut. As he bore our shame and our sin on that cross. To then have this man begin to make fun of him. I can imagine that moment. I know why I wasn't Jesus. I can imagine that moment. I'd be like, I don't have time for you. Will you just die? Just get it done. Just move on out of my way. Right? I mean, come on. These guys weren't tortured. They weren't beaten up. They weren't unrecognizable like Christ was. And he's just quiet. Jesus, just quiet. I wouldn't have been quiet. I wouldn't have been pleasant. I wouldn't have been nice. I wouldn't have been Jesus. And then this other man, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what Christ did? Oh, Christ said, today you will be with me in glory. I'd have said, oh, you wasted your chances, buddy. You're a goner. Good luck. But Jesus, in all that pain, bearing everyone's shame, he was so concerned with souls. He was so concerned with souls that at this moment of his life, he could not help himself but take one with him, one more with him. Are we that concerned about souls? Because we should be. Because our heart should be right where Christ's heart was. On my worst pain day, it's better to just stay away from me. It's that simple. I'm surely not going to tell you, you'll be with me in heaven. I don't have that in me. But Jesus is so concerned with souls. Souls are so important to him. It is the reason he was born. He was born to bear our sin and shame, to sacrifice his life, to become our salvation and our restoration. That should be where our heart is. Our heart should be where his heart is. The word says that we should love what he loves and hate what he hates. Let me tell you something God hates. Oh, hallelujah. He hates for there to be lost. It says in Ezekiel chapter 33, 11, I say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why should you die, house of Israel? Oh, and here these two men are hanging on the cross. They both deserve their punishment. They both deserve to be right where they are. It is the price of the life they lived. And one of those two men knows Jesus does not deserve to be there. One of those men humbles himself before Christ. One of those men had a repentive revelation and made a decision to defend Christ and to humble himself before him and ask him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. That's what Jesus was all about. Saving souls, saving lives, God doesn't want that people should die. God isn't up there hoping that the evil will die. He does not want the evil to die. He wants the evil to repent. He wants to see every life saved because we are His creation. We are His beings. We are created for His glory. He doesn't wish that we should die in our sins. And so Him and Jesus and Holy Spirit, they made a plan. They made a perfect, a wonderful, a marvelous, a beautiful plan to save our souls. And if there was ever a time of needing souls to be saved, it's now. It's now. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about our unsaved loved ones? What are we doing about the people in the streets? What are we doing about the unsaved people we come across? Are we just keeping our mouth closed? Are we just moving right along? Are we just looking the other way? Because I think sometimes we'd have to not be doing something about it. Because Holy Spirit is compelling. Holy Spirit is compelling. Holy Spirit is speaking. How many times have we been somewhere, the grocery store, the street corner, the gas station, the market, and the Lord said, give that person a word. Tell them I love them. And we're like, Lord, is that you? I rebuke you, Satan. It's the gas station. Nobody wants to hear Jesus loves you. It's the grocery store. Nobody has time to hear Jesus loves you. Oh, that can't be God. But it is God. And He is prompting us. He is encouraging us. Oh, hallelujah. He is asking us to speak on His behalf. We are His mouth. We are His voice. We are His hands. We are His arms. We are His feet. We are His heart on this earth. And we need to move as He moved. And we need to be concerned about the things that He is concerned about. We have 1,000 other concerns. You know, when Jesus went to Martha and Mary's house, and Mary went and sat down at His feet, because she just wanted to listen. She just wanted to be near Him, to hear Him, to touch Him. And Martha got perturbed. And Martha went and complained to the Lord and said, will you tell her to get up and help me? Don't you care? And you know, Jesus says, you know, Martha, you are perturbed about many things. How many of us are Marthas? Perturbed about many things. You know what perturbed is? To be bothered by, to be disturbed, to be unhappy, to be angry. How many of us are perturbed about many things? The economy, the president, the insurance, the health system, COVID, gas prices, meat prices. How many are perturbed about many things? Yet what Mary did was what was important. Woo! She was at the feet of Jesus. She was hanging on His every word. Are we hanging on His every word? Are we concerned about what He's concerned about? When He's speaking, are we right there, all ears, just listening? Because that's what the most important thing is. Or are we perturbed about many things? The list was so big, Jesus just said many. Martha, you're perturbed that you have to work so hard. You're perturbed you got a whole bunch of company in your house as a surprise. Oh, you're perturbed about what your brother's doing. He could have made a list, but it was too big, so He just said many. Martha, you're perturbed about many things. It says in Matthew 28:19, this is famous, everybody's going to know this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord is telling us, go and share the good news. Go and tell people who I am and what I've done. You know, if you won the lotto, everybody would know. You'd make sure you were on TV telling everybody. Your neighbors, your children, your relatives that perturb you, they'd know, because you'd be calling them, "Oh, I just wanted to share the good news. I won the lotto and you didn't." Right? We'd be so excited, everybody would know. We'd be screaming it from the rooftops. We'd be buying new houses. We'd be buying new cars. We'd be buying big old diamond rings. We'd be buying a whole new wardrobe. We'd be spending that money like crazy. And here, there are souls in crisis out there. Souls that need to hear the word. Perturbed hearts for many reasons. That need to hear Jesus loves them. And He has made a way to have peace. He has made a way to know life like you have never known life before. Many people have said to me that I'm a bit of a princess. Spoiled. You know, I don't know what it is to rough it or to have difficulties. Right? That's laugh-worthy. Because they see a picture, they see something, and they assume something else. You know, we see people, we see them hurting, or we see them homeless, or we see them on a street corner, and we just assume, well, you're there because you made bad choices, or you're there because you deserve to be there, or it's your fault. And maybe they did, and maybe they didn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why that man was hanging on the cross. Doesn't matter what their sin was. What matters is on that moment, Jesus had pity and shared. Jesus accepted him on that cross. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus took him to glory with him because he is concerned for his soul. Because Jesus loved his soul. Because Jesus was dying for his soul. What are we doing for the souls? Oh, well, Janine, you know I'm not good at talking. You know I just can't share. You know that's not my talent. You like to talk. This is true. You love to share. Oh, absolutely. I just can't do that. So wrong. So wrong. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 9 say this. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, and he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So many people want to take this verse and apply this verse to just the house of God. So the watchman, there was a wall all built around Jerusalem, was it? Most of the cities, okay? And on that wall, they posted soldiers, watchers, who would cry out when they saw an enemy coming to breach the city or to come at the city. And they'd give warning. And so everyone in the city would get prepared for battle. And I've heard it preached that, so this meant that when you see your neighbor in sin, you need to go to them and tell them they're in sin. Well, that's biblical. It is in the Bible. But I don't think that's what the watchman is about. The watchman is about when evil comes against the city, the people of God. The world is filled with people who the enemy is coming against. The world is filled with people who do not know Jesus because the enemy has blinded them. He has trapped them. He has wrapped them up in his special own little wrapping, and they're just lost. And the Lord says, when I give a word to warn. You know, when Jesus says, go tell them I love them, or go tell them I'm here for them, that's a warning. It's not the old warning, you're going to hell, you're going to die, because grace came. This is Old Testament, before grace. But once grace came, that changed our warning. That changed how we're to warn. It changed what happens. So now it's, hey, Jesus loves you. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live in pain. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live hurting. You don't have to live feeling abandoned or lonely, because there is one who paid the price so you could know what sonship is. And when we don't give that word, when we don't share that word that the Lord speaks to us, according to this verse, their soul is on, their blood is on our hands. That scared me. I have read this verse I don't know how many times. I've never really cared much for it. Till about 3 or 4 months ago, when the Lord showed me that verse in a different context. He said, these are my people out there, and the enemy has come against them, and I am sending you to them to minister to them, to witness to them, to show them my love. Are we being the message? Because you and I are called to not just give the word, but to be the message. The way we live, the way we handle one another, the way we work with one another, the way we love one another. We are the message. We are not just the messengers. Our life should be the message. They should see in us the things they saw in Christ. Hallelujah. Because we're not just people. We're Holy Spirit-filled people. Jesus is my superhero. And my superhero now lives inside of me. And that makes me more than what I was. It makes me more than I am. It gives me hope for what I can be. I know today I don't have it all together. I know today I might have been a hot mess, but I have hope because His mercies are new for me every day. I have hope that I can arrive at the place He's calling me to be, because I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm not living it in my own way, according to Janine's law, according to my will. I am living it through the Holy Spirit, according to His will, according to His way, because I am a child of God. I am not just me. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that gives me hope. It gives me hope that I can be better tomorrow than today, and the day after that I can be even better, because the more time I spend in His presence, the more time I spend getting to know Him and understand Him, the more I am able to deny my flesh, which is where sin and evilness lives. Hallelujah. We are not our sin. They are not their sin. They are lost. They are broken. They are hurt. They are wounded. And they need the love of Jesus. No matter how much pain we might be in, we're not hanging on a cross dying. And those souls were so important to Jesus that He took His soul and made him new, and took him to heaven with Him. Do you understand the power of that? The greatness of that? That is such a miraculous moment. That even on the worst pain and moment of His life, the moment He felt the most pain and hurt of His life, He was more concerned with His soul, with this man's soul, than He was His own pain. Have you ever met somebody in chronic pain? All they care about is their pain. They can't focus on anything else. And I'm not saying that pain isn't horrible and it's not a terrible thing. It is. And Christ was in the worst pain imaginable. And yet, His love, oh, hallelujah, His love was so great for the lost souls He didn't make this man pray some big, long, lengthy prayer. He didn't make him confess to every sin he'd ever done. He didn't shame him. He didn't tell him, well, you're on your way to hell, buddy. I don't got time for you. I'm a little bit busy here. He took the time in that moment to say to him, today you will be with me in glory. What a marvelous thing to hear. What a marvelous moment. It was probably the worst day of this other man's life too, come to think about it. You know, when all your sins catch up to you and you're suddenly hanging on that cross, paying a horrible price. Hanging is a horribly, or being crucified is a horribly painful way to die. I've heard it said that it slowly breaks all of your bones. And what happens is your lungs, your rib cage collapses in on your lungs. And yet, in this, that's right, it makes it impossible to breathe. And yet, in the worst pain of his life, he has a revelation of who Jesus is. And he doesn't say to him, hey, guy, you know, why don't you get you and me down? I know who you are right now. I recognize you and I will serve you. How many of us ever tried to bargain with God? Well, Lord, I will serve you if you do this and if you do that, or if you give me this or you give me that. He didn't do any of that. He was totally humbled. He had such a deep, profound revelation of who Christ was. He humbled himself and just said, remember me. Remember me. That's all it took. And Christ was in. Yep, you had me at remember. He was right there. This man's whole future. Everything changed for him in that moment because of that profound love. Are we loving like that? Are we loving souls like that? That we're just waiting, no matter what circumstances are, we're just waiting to share the right moment, to share the word. Oh, or do we hold back because we're embarrassed, or because we don't know if this is God or not, or because we don't want to be rejected? Oh, we don't want somebody to make fun of us. Or maybe we're like Jonah and we think, well, they certainly don't deserve it. You know, the story of Jonah in chapter 1, it talks about how the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the Lord spoke to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to tell them their sin has come up before me. And I am going to destroy the city because of the sin is offensive. And Jonah's like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. So Jonah thinks he's going to be sneaky. How many of us think we can be sneaky and God won't notice? Right? Maybe, you know, I'm just going to get on a boat. And I'm going to go in the opposite direction as far as I can. And maybe God won't notice that. I mean, you know. How many of us had thought, well, it's just, you know, God's not going to see this one thing. He's too busy with the other billions of people on the earth, really. I mean, it's just a little thing. God's not going to notice. It's not going to be a big deal. And so he went down to, how do you pronounce it, Joppa? Joppa? In Spanish, it's Joppa. And he got on a ship, and he was going to sail to Tarshish. And it didn't go well for him, let's just say. Everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? It comes down to it that the shipmates, everybody finds out that Jonah's the problem. Jonah's the problem child, and they're all sinking because Jonah is upsetting the Lord. So the big fish or the whale eats Jonah and then throws him up. I think that's pretty deserving right there. Just throws him up. Vomits him out on the shore of Nineveh, where he's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. So Jonah goes through the city, you know, crying out, God is going to destroy the city. I imagine him shaking something, maybe a bell. Your sin has grieved the Lord. You're going to die. I'm looking forward to that day, just saying. You're really not my kind of people. I don't think you deserve to live because, you know, you're wicked. Hell's coming for you, Nineveh, get ready. I'm sure he was so enthusiastic. I am sure he was just so worried about that city. Not in the slightest. But the king heard the word. Somehow the word got to the king, and the king called the whole city to repent. A whole city to repent. Hundreds, thousands of people to repent. And Jonah was unhappy. All these people repented before God, and Jonah wasn't happy. It says in chapter 4, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord, and he said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing what you're going to do. He was pouting that a whole city should have been saved that he thought deserved to die. Okay, now don't even tell me for one second. Do not say you've never had that thought. Oh, well, they got what they deserved. Whew, that's good to see. That's good to know. Oh, I was so happy to see them reap what they've been sowing all these years. That wasn't where Jesus' heart was at. He's there in all that pain, and he wasn't thinking, you're getting your just desserts. You have reaped what you have sown. Live with it. I'm busy here. Right? Wow. But don't we kind of do that? Don't we kind of judge people on who deserves to hear the message or who deserves to be blessed or who deserves to live or die? Who deserves to be saved? Oh, we do that. And that is so wicked. You know, Jonah was a minor prophet. Do you know why he was a minor prophet? Because he was a three-year-old and threw temper tantrums. And he didn't want to obey. This is it. This is Jonah's great glory. This story. He should be so ashamed that this was what he's remembered for. His disobedience. How are we going to be remembered? Are we going to be remembered for soul winners? Are we going to get to heaven? And are we going to hear, oh, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are we going to get to heaven? You know, these souls here are going to require your blood. You were told to take the message to these souls, and you decided it wasn't that important. Oh my gosh. But we do that without even thinking about it. We decide. We decide who we're going to share the message with. It doesn't matter that God said, go share it with this person or share it with that person. We decide. We make a judgment call on who gets to be witnessed to. And the word says in Matthew 7, judge not, that you not be judged. We're not the judges, but we're the messengers. We have to share the message. We have to live the message. We have to be the message. We are called to be the message. It says in Hebrews 3, verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Oh, praise the Lord. For 40 years, they saw the greatness of God. For 40 years, they saw the miracles of God, and yet they didn't obey Him, and yet they didn't trust Him. Do you trust God tonight? If we trust Him when He says, go share, we won't hesitate. Of course, if you're sending me, that means there's a reason. That means it's good to do. But how often do we question what God says to us? How often do we wait? Oh, I'm just going to mull this over for a little while, God. Oh, we just passed. Oh, I'll get Him next time, Lord. I'll do it next time. I won't let you down. I'm guilty. I am absolutely guilty of that. Lord, I'm too busy today. Lord, I don't have time to make that phone call. Lord, are you kidding? In this house, I can't hear myself think, let alone have a phone call. Lord, I've got to go do this. I've got to do that. I don't have time today to do this or to share that. How many times do we make that kind of a decision when the most important thing we should be concerned about is souls? That's the whole reason Jesus died. You and I, we're watchmen. We're messengers. Oh, hallelujah. We are called to give the message. We are called to share the message. And Jesus died. And it was the most wonderful thing He's ever done. He took all of our sin, all of our shame, so that we could be restored to right relationship with God, so that we could be saved from our wickedness, from our ugliness, from our shame, and from our sin. Don't keep carrying it. Oh, let Him have it. Let Him have it and be the messenger, be the witness He's calling you to be. What is your life saying to your neighbors? What is your life saying to your family? How will they remember you? What will they remember about you? Oh, praise the Lord. Because Jesus loves souls. He's all about souls. And you know, the only way we're going to see this church filled, the only way we're going to see what I can see in my mind is if we're out there witnessing. Magic pamphlets are not going to fall from heaven with the New Beginning's name and address. Go there now, and you shall be saved. We have to take the message out there to the people out there. We have to live the message so the people out there see the message in living color. Are we the Christmas message this year? Are we bringing peace? Are we bringing love? Are we bringing joy everywhere we go? We should be, and we can. Because it's what Jesus did, even dying on the cross. He's like, no souls left behind. Right? Huh. It took us just a little revelation of who Christ was. And this man spoke so simple words, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Those are so powerful words. In those words, we can understand he identified who Christ was. He knew who Christ was in that moment. He knew he was the sacrificial lamb. He knew he was dying to take the sins of the people away. Oh, praise the Lord. He was born to die. He was born to die for you and I. And we can't think about Christmas without remembering why He was born. He was born for you and me. He was born to take away our sin and our shame and our pain and our heartbreak and our misery. He was born to take away our sins, that we could know Him, that we could know God and know right standing with God and walk in His ways. Woo! So that we could be Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit empowered sons and daughters of the living God, so we could be the message. We are called to be the message. Oh, praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, holy is your name, Jesus. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. You know, there are some of us still walking around carrying our shame, carrying our pain, carrying our brokenness. And you know, it's like a big Christmas sack on our back, and it just keeps getting filled and more filled and more filled because we've never let it go. We've never given it up. But the Lord is saying to his people, let it go. Let it go. Give it to me. Because I died, I paid the price for your healing in every area of your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There is no area he did not die to heal. Hallelujah. His hand is not short. There is no area that he can't touch. Oh, that. Okay, that's a little bit too big for me. Well, you'll just have to keep that one. That isn't what he did. There is nothing he can't heal, nothing he can't take if you give it to him. Oh, praise the Lord. We should be the happiest people on the earth because of what he did for us, because of what he's continually doing for us. Oh, hallelujah. This word excites me. It reminds me of what he's done for me. It reminds me of who I am. It reminds me that I am not alone. It reminds me that I am called for his purposes. It reminds me that there's a world out there that needs to hear that Jesus loves them, that they're forgivable. They're not unredeemable. They're not so messed up and so broken that they're unfixable, that they're unredeemable. There is nothing that Jesus won't forgive you. He is right there, and he is ready, and he is waiting. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve, that he took all of our sin and our shame. That the word, the last verse we read, it says, if you have an ear, hear the word. Don't harden your hearts. When God speaks to you and we don't obey, we harden our hearts towards the word. We harden our hearts towards what he said so that we don't have to obey, and we somehow make it okay in our mind. Oh, Lord, I missed it. I'll get it next time. Well, what if there isn't a next time? What if for that person, you were the moment? We are watchmen. We are messengers empowered by the Holy Spirit to take forth his message, to pick up his torch, and to carry it. But when we are so broken ourselves and so filled with fear and hurt and anxiety, it's very hard to share the message. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. If there is anyone here tonight that is battling with anxiety, I want to pray for you tonight. The Lord wants that anxiety broke off of you. It's not from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to just close with a prayer. Praise the Lord. And then I'm going to ask for people to come up for prayer. If you were watching this word tonight, you are the message. You are the messenger. Praise the Lord. Let your heart be filled with the love. Let your voice be filled with his word. Lord Jesus, I just lift up your people to you tonight, oh God. Lord, fill them with your word, with your message, oh God. Lord, use them to carry the word out, oh God. Lord, open their ears to hear you, Lord, and their hearts to receive you and to obey your word, oh God. Lord, to carry the message, Jesus. And Lord, if there's somebody watching and if you don't know Jesus, but you want to know this Savior, you want to know this peace, you need this peace, you need this healing, just stretch your hand out right now, right now, right where you're at. Stretch your hand out and pray with me. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. You are my Savior. You paid for my sins. I receive what you did. I receive it unto me. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. Use me for your glory. Forgive me of my sins and help me to walk in your way. In the name of Jesus. Oh, if you prayed that prayer with us tonight, God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to the family. I hope you can make it down to a new beginning and visit with us and let us know that you've been watching and that you've received the Lord. But whether you can or whether you can't, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You are important to us. And we just praise you. And we just thank you for being here. Oh, precious Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So now I'm going to go back to whoever it is. If you are struggling with anxiety in your life, I want to pray with you if you will allow me to. The Lord doesn't want us to be anxiety filled. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be filled with His gifts, with His fruit, and anxiety is not one of them. If you're struggling with health in your body and you need healing, oh, I'm telling you, the Lord is here. He is here, and He wants to touch you tonight. Oh, praise your name.